Dear beloved of God, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Every time that we pray the Lord's Prayer, as we'll do in just a moment, we pray that God's kingdom would come, that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And in the small catechism, which Martin Luther wrote to help strengthen and buoy folks in their faith, Martin Luther wrote, in fact, God's kingdom comes on its own without prayer. But we ask in this prayer that it may also come about in and among us. So whether we're talking about God's will or God's kingdom, or God's vision, as is the case in today's hymn, Be Thou My Vision, followers of Jesus across the centuries, from the Apostle Paul to Luther to you and I here today, have struggled with how to live and love as God intends. How do we have God's vision? How do we follow God's will? How do we participate in the kingdom? When I was in high school, the What Would Jesus Do bracelets were all the rage. They were supposed to be these visible reminders throughout your day to encourage you to try and discern what the best, most faithful response was in any given circumstance. This reminder to try and be like Jesus. And that's what we've been trying to do as followers of Jesus for nearly two millennia. And our track record isn't super good. In the Gospels, Jesus distills all of the law and the prophets, all of the wisdom of Scripture into just two commands. Love God, love your neighbor. So simple. But simple is seldom easy. In fact, I personally find simple to be really hard. And sometimes when I'm struggling in my own journey, I turn to a monk who lived in Kentucky in the 1960s named Thomas Merton. Merton lived in this austere monastery. He lived a very different life than those of the outside world in the 1960s. But in his writing, he would write with this deep appreciation for normal people, all of you, not the two of us. We're the abnormal people. The people who lived outside of the monastery. And he wrote this prayer that I return to often. It goes like this. My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end. Nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think that I am following your will does not mean that I'm actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope that I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always, though I may seem to be lost in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me. And you will never leave me to face my perils alone. I love that prayer. I love it because it starkly captures the challenge of trying to be God's people in the world, but it also surrounds that challenge with God's relentless promise to walk with us, to share life with us, to give his life for us so that we might never be alone. In today's reading that Pastor Freeman read, the Apostle Paul gets at that same idea in another way. He writes, "It's not that I have already reached the goal or have already been perfected, but I still pursue it so that I may grab hold of it because Christ has grabbed hold of me for that purpose." Did you hear that? Jesus has grabbed hold of you. It's a statement of fact. In the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, we and all of creation are bound forever to God's life. Jesus will never let you go. And so, in light of that promise, we spend our lives searching and chasing and questing after exactly what that means for us and for this world. Paul writes that it's an upward call, a call out of ourselves or beyond ourselves. It's a call and an invitation to search for a different kind of life, one that ushers in joy and wholeness and fullness for all people. But I don't know how to get there. The way forward is profoundly uncertain. But since we've been grasped and held by Jesus, there's a part of us that can't help but keep searching. Or put another way, we keep singing and praying that God would be our vision, that Christ would be our wisdom. And that's a daily exercise. In another letter to a different church, Paul wrote this beautiful chapter on love. You might have heard it before, if you've ever been to a wedding. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. At the close of the chapter, Paul says this, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I have been fully known. And these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love." Each day we have this opportunity to look in the mirror and to see ourselves as God does, worthy of love and worthy of sharing that love with others. It's not easy to remember that as the day moves along, because there are constantly these competing messages that our worth and our value is determined by something else. But in your baptism, you were named and claimed by God. You were set apart for something else, for someone else. You have received the full inheritance of God. All that is God's is yours. May God give you the wisdom and the vision to see that this day and always. Amen.